Have you ever seen anything like that?
Like, oh, whoa! It looks like it's getting bigger.
Too big for us.
Maybe we should call on the rest of BAI. They should know something.
Good idea. We can meet.
We better meet away from the station just in case that thing is contagious or something.
I know a place. 56 Walker Street, a couple blocks down from Canal.
We could just figure out a date and time.
It looks like we have a little time. It doesn't seem to be moving too fast. I don't think that'll get here until late November.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI. The time is just about 7 o'clock. Time once again for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bomb for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood, but Billy Bomb.
Putting this off the hook, Manuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Mike.
Program is Off the Hook. You don't know the name?
Yeah, you know, I'm very flustered today, Mike. It's been a rough day. Off the Hook, yes. Any other critiques for this early on in the hour?
No? It's only been a minute. I'm sure I can come
it's
up with some.
It's been a second. Okay, Mike, that's enough from you. And Jim is here.
Hello.
And down in Philadelphia is Bernie S.
Greetings from Philadelphia.
Out in Seattle is Kyle.
Hi.
Well, okay, where do I start? Well, first of all, a couple of things. Today was the day of the dramatic emergency alert system test, a nationwide test. Bernie, can you maybe describe for the folks what this is all about?
Wow, it's sort of a successor to the old emergency broadcast system. Like, this is a test. This is only a test. If this had been a real emergency, you know, that kind of a thing. It's been going on since the 1950s. But this, the new incarnation of it, the emergency alert system, is designed to allow local, state, and federal authorities reach the public through mass media en masse. And this particular test today was the first nationwide emergency alert system test. It was set up to be from the White House and just supposed to be 3 minutes to most TV and radio stations and cable and satellite stations. But It was cut down to 30 seconds from 3 minutes, and it was the responsibility was handed over to FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Administration, maybe for political reasons, I don't know. And I think the commercial broadcasters probably didn't want 3 minutes of commercial airtime being used up for something so trivial. So, but I monitored it. Did you monitor it? What did you see?
I monitored it in a few places. I can tell you it did not work here at WBAI. We did not get the signal. I heard it on a couple of other non-commercial stations. I had CNN on. It did not come across on CNN.
Yep.
Of course, I was watching CNN on a Canadian dish, so maybe that had something to do with it. I was watching a Los Angeles television station and came across there with no sound. Mm-hmm. But you know what? That's only so much you can do in 30 seconds. I wasn't able to monitor anything else.
I know. It was a short time window to test. Did you listen to any radio stations while you were doing this?
Yes, I had WCBS on in the background, AM station, and they aired it pretty much at 2 o'clock. The thing I thought was interesting was it wasn't all instantaneous, or simultaneous, rather. It was basically different times.
Yeah, I was twiddling through an analog AM and FM radio dial, like just scanning through the stations manually with a knob, and I was really surprised to find most stations on the air were not broadcasting the emergency alert system test. And I was flipping through, I was at my aunt's house flipping through cable TV channels because I don't have a TV at my home. So I was flipping through cable channels, and most of them, even the broadcast channels, which are like retransmitted over cable, were not carrying it as well. I did land on a PBS affiliate here at WVIA, which is a PBS affiliate up here, and they were broadcasting. That was the only station I found that was broadcasting audio with the video, and the audio was horribly distorted, like it was like a radio that wasn't tuned properly or something.
Well, what has happened in the past? This is the first nationwide test. There have been statewide tests, and what has happened in the past is that a station will relay to another station and to another station, and by the time it gets to about the eighth station, it's barely audible because so many generations have passed by. So maybe you were hearing something like that.
Well, yeah. What the emergency alert system has done since in recent couple years is it set up some different feeds. They set up a satellite feeds, both redundant uplinks and downlinks, and also last year they put into effect an XM satellite radio feed as well, downlink. So, you know, to get around from that, used to be there were only like a few dozen PEPs, like point of entry stations that would rebroadcast the main signal from the source to other radio stations, like you said, like a daisy chain thing. But with all these redundant sources of signal now, you would think that this test would have gone well. I was very unimpressed. I thought it was a failure, personally.
Yeah, well, you know, while we were speaking, Bernie, you might have heard some clicks on the phone.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's all about. But this printer in the back just printed out something, and that's got something to do with the emergency alert system.
Yeah, so it's alerting us to something.
You want
to
read what it says?
Should I tear off the tape?
I think you're allowed to read what it says, and we have to log it. Yeah, tear off the tape, and we'll log it in the official logs. But do tell I think the folks have a right to know what is coming across this system. Just read the last part, the last section or whatever.
Yeah, it says...
obscenities, please don't read those.
It says, alert received at 11:09:11 at 19:06:31.
Which was just a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah. On monitor number one, a broadcast station or cable system has issued a required weekly test for Bronx, Kings, New York, Queens, and Richmond counties.
Okay, so that's our required weekly test, which has never aired before during our show. Just happened to air while we were talking about it.
No. It begins at 8:06 p.m.
Yeah, but it just happened.
Well, it's let me tell you what time it's not, and that's 8:06.
Somebody did not turn their clock back. All right, it's pretty obvious what that's all
but
about.
But it also says it ends at 9:06. I don't believe in an hour-long test.
All right, you know, nobody really knows what's going on. But
what do I do with this now?
On that, well, you have to hold on to it because you ripped it off the official thing there. You're now responsible for it. I'm glad I didn't do that. A couple of things with this, and I don't want to spend too much time on this because we have so many other things to talk about tonight, but I understand there are some problems with some cable systems that are unable to tell people that it's a test. this story that I read said that they were worried that blind people might not know. They might just hear the sound, and they might not know that it actually was a test because apparently, or deaf people, handicapped people in general, might not know that this isn't real. So it's have you ever heard anything quite so kludgy, Bernie?
No. I mean, almost all the cable channels that I scanned across that I found were broadcasting the test had no audio. It was just a video screen. So I think it's silly. I think sightless people, sight impaired people should be able to hear that there is a test going on or that there's a real emergency. I mean, this is ridiculous. But what do you think of the broader implications of something where the White House now has the ability, assuming the thing works, to reach a large percentage of the population immediately through all these TV, radio, cable, and satellite channels? I mean, this, I think, has potential for abuse. But on the other hand, I think it could be important if there really was a real emergency.
Well, it's a question of who it is that you want to trust, and how many individuals do you want to give the ability, or how many entities do you want to give the ability to override everybody's Big Brother broadcast or whatever it is they're doing with mass media. I found the part that I was referring to. They say that the concern among cable television systems is that hard of hearing viewers might be alarmed because some cable systems, unlike broadcast and satellite TV, cannot superimpose a visual warning saying this is a test over the government's graphic. Instead, they will only see the scrolled message, this is an emergency action notification, which gives no visual indication that it's just a test. And I cannot believe, after all this time of hysteria and mayhem and worrying about catastrophes, that we haven't figured out a way to superimpose something that says this is a test. But apparently that's where we are. Also, this is moving forward in the future. Apparently, all kinds of devices will be able to receive such tests in the future. Mobile phones, pagers, all kinds of other things. There's an integrated system that's supposedly 9 months away and is going to be tested in New York City and eventually the rest of the country.
Wait, so if I'm like outside walking around, as I actually was at 3 p.m. today.
2 p.m.
2 p.m. probably.
Oh, my God. Nobody knows that there was an emergency test.
Yeah, no one told me. So you're saying someone would my phone would have just instantly alerted me that there was a test emergency.
Assuming you have it on, yes. Yes.
Wait, you can turn phones off?
Well, yeah, I'll show you how later. Kyle, out there in Seattle, did you hear any screaming in the streets?
No, I didn't hear any screaming in the streets, although I had KEXP on the radio in the kitchen tuned in, and I was listening to that, and I also was streaming BAI later on. So I think between the two of them, I did catch this famed test.
Well, no, if you were listening to BAI and hoping for an emergency, you were disappointed because it didn't come across here.
Okay, so
for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think that was accurate, too, because I tuned into BAI later. I'm pretty sure it was the radio in the kitchen that I heard that on. I was listening to a local community station out here, KEXP.
Mike, don't fold that piece of paper. That's an official government document you're holding there.
I won't.
All right.
I was just wondering if it said anything about this morning's test, and it doesn't.
No, because we never got this morning. And it wasn't this morning. It was this afternoon, 2 o'clock.
It was this morning in Seattle where Kyle is.
But you're not. All right, let's move on. Speaking of someone not telling someone something, this finally happened to me. I knew it was going to happen someday, but it finally happened. I was driving yesterday. I was driving yesterday afternoon, and I noticed it was getting dark. And I realized, you know, why is it getting dark now? It seemed a little early to be getting dark. And that's when I realized, I was actually talking to somebody on the phone, which I know isn't legal, but I was doing it anyway. I found out that daylight savings time ended over the weekend and I didn't know about it. And everything was automated. Every single clock, every single device that I have knew to turn the clock back an hour. So I went blithely through 3 days without realizing that this had happened because there was absolutely nothing to tell me. Unless, you know, I was listening to a newscast about it or reading articles, which I wasn't doing because I was busy working on something else. So for the first time, and I knew this was coming, last year, the only device in my house was an analog clock. Well, that analog clock broke this year, and I replaced it with a nice digital clock that gets its time from WWV and has Celsius temperature from outside. So that clock was intelligent enough to turn back the clock an hour on its own without telling me anything. I went through 3 days without knowing.
What about your microwave?
I don't keep the time on my microwave. I don't see the point in that at all. My phone knew to turn back. Every single VCR that still works and every single...
VCR?
Yeah, a cable box, all those things. So, you know, I just wonder, what else can they slyly change without people realizing it? Can they make Monday into Sunday, you know, and just shift things around? It's kind of frightening when something happens so transparently, you're not even aware of it.
Emmanuel?
Yes?
You may remember, what was it, about 4 or 5 years ago that President George W. Bush changed the time that we're supposed to spring forward and fall back for daylight savings time.
Yeah, and that's too damn much power for any one person to have either, yes, to be able to actually change the hands of time.
Well, worse than that, some devices, like I have one of these watches that also receives a WWVB, the 60 kilohertz signal from the National Institute of Standards and Technology in Fort Collins, Colorado, like your clock does. And but the date that it's supposed to change is hard coded into the ROM on this, in the microcontroller on this watch. So I have to wait about 3 weeks for, unless I want to manually change the time on my watch and then manually change it back 3 weeks from now, I'm stuck with this legacy of the George W. Bush administration strapped around my wist. It's very annoying.
Yeah, that is something. But anyway, we're on standard time now. I wish we'd stay on standard time. I don't see any reason to be moving hours around. Go ahead.
So yeah, I disagree. I don't understand why we're wasting daylight. We should be saving it now when there's so little of it to go around.
All right. Well, you save it on your own and spend it later. I don't care. It's just when you move clocks around, it is fun though to make appointments with people for an hour that never happens. Like, yeah, I'll meet you at 2 a.m. on Saturday, and that's the day that they jump ahead to 3 a.m., so there is no 2 a.m. You know, it's...
Show them. You could just say, I don't want to meet with you.
Yeah, that usually follows later on. Yesterday was Election Day. Did anybody know?
I went to vote.
Yeah, I went to vote, too. And once again, it was the clumsiest system I've ever seen, where nobody knew what was going on. Everyone felt like they didn't really vote. And basically, at the end, it feels like you sent a fax, but you're not sure anybody actually got it.
Did you have anything to vote for?
I had things to vote against, and I kind of...
All right, so that's more than I had.
Yeah.
I had... In New York City, where I live, there were elections for some judges, and there were 5 slots, and there were 5 candidates, and I voted for 4 of them just for fun, but I suspect the 5th will still win also.
I just make it a point to not vote for anybody who's running both Democrat and Republican, and just to vote for anybody else, because that's the ultimate in corruption, I think.
I don't know. I showed up at 7:20 p.m. and was informed that I was the 9th voter to arrive that day.
Wow.
So they were very busy.
I can imagine. Bernie, any adventures down in Philadelphia?
Actually, I'm upstate from Philadelphia now. I was not able to vote because I'm out of the area where I normally vote. But
you sound like getting out of the area now. In fact, you're fading.
Okay. How about now?
Yeah, go back to the phone. Okay, good.
There was a very light turnout up here in Luzerne County, Pennsylvania.
Wait. What's the name of this county?
Luzerne County.
Okay. Well,
Like the city in Switzerland, Lucerne.
Well, it's not spelled the same way. It's spelled with a Z.
Yeah, that's how they spell it over there.
Over there. Over here, we spell theirs with a C.
It's very confusing.
Is it
anyway.
Swiss or?
Switzerland, yeah.
No, but in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania Swiss, is that something that?
No, it's all not right. Like Pennsylvania Dutch. It's
okay.
Or Pennsylvania.
Anyway, so you were upstate Pennsylvania,
yeah,
and you weren't able to vote.
It was the most beautiful possible day you could imagine, and it still was a very light turnout. But they got a new district attorney up here in Luzerne County, so that's refreshing. Yeah, I kick the old ones out. They get too much power.
Okay. So yeah, Election Day. That was something that if you blinked, you might have missed it. But something's coming up. First of all, I'm about to speak about dates. But does anybody realize that this emergency alert test came on 9/11? If you keep dates like they do in Europe, today is the 9th day of November. So they write that 9/11. Do you think that was a coincidence?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I have nothing else to talk about then. But the date I do want to mention, though, is one that's coming up in just 2 days, and that is the 11th day of November. Now, that's Veterans Day or Remembrance Day. A lot of people pause at 11 o'clock in the morning in England, for instance. But what's interesting about this particular one, this is something that will never happen again in our lifetimes, is that the two-digit year, the two-digit month, the two-digit date are all the same number, 11, 11, 11. You can't name a date where that's ever happened before, can you? Go ahead, try it.
What, 10, 10, 10?
Yeah, you see, 1 and 0 are two different numbers, so you can't, you know, different. And 9, 9, 9, people didn't write 9, they wrote 0, 9, so you have 0 there.
But it will happen again in 13 months.
When?
No, it won't.
Because 11/11 is the same in both overseas and here. The next time it will happen will be in the year 2222. And, yeah.
Wait, in the 22nd month of that year?
Yeah, you see, it's not going to happen then either.
Your whole theory goes out the window.
No, it's never going to happen again. That's my point.
All right. It's
a unique thing, and I hope that everybody's, you know, planning something really special for that. Okay. You might remember, I certainly do, last time I entered this country, I had a bit of trouble. Kyle, I think you were there.
Yeah.
All right. I got fed up with it because every time I come into the country, whether it's from Canada, whether it's from Europe or from outer space or wherever it is, I get basically searched and questioned. And I finally filed a complaint with the Department of Homeland Security. This was back in September that I did this. And they gave me a page to check my status. I'd enter my control number and I'd check to see what was happening. And for a while, it said, in process, DHS has received your application along with the required identification documents and the signed privacy statement. We are currently reviewing the submission to determine if the delays are caused by incorrect information or mistaken identity. We will also coordinate with other federal agencies as appropriate to make this determination and to correct any errors. I mailed them all kinds of things. Well, about a little over a week ago, that changed, and the message read, status closed. DHS has completed its review of your submission. A letter was forwarded to you at the address provided in your application. Well, nothing has arrived in the mail. It's been well over a week since this notice was posted, and I just wonder what this means. Is this where it ends, where they say they mailed me something and I never get it, and I have to start all over again and go through this this hoop one more time? That's where it stands.
So the weird thing about this process is that if you can show you're not the person they're looking for, then they do something for you. But if you are the person they're looking for, then even if they shouldn't be looking for you, you have no means for appeal.
Well, at least I know why they're looking for me, supposedly.
I don't think they're going to tell you that.
Well, okay, then I want to see the letter that says, yeah, we're going to harass you every time you come into the country, and we're not going to tell you why.
Maybe they lose all those letters on purpose.
Well, I'll give it some more time, and I'll tell you what. We're not on next week. We're on 2 weeks, but when I get that letter, if I get the letter tomorrow, I'm going to hold on to it and not even open it till we're on the air. I'll open it live on the air. How's that for suspense?
Very dramatic. Have we ever had a live envelope opening on this radio program before?
We probably have. Yeah, we've done some dramatic things. What's that, Bernie?
There might be anthrax in the envelope they mail to you.
You really think DHS would stoop to that level?
Well, the little anthrax came courtesy of the U.S. government, so.
They don't like me very much. Anyway, so that's where that stands. And, of course, I'll keep everybody updated as far as that goes. You might have heard something on the internet. If you read the internet, you might have seen something on our page about some interesting events that are happening this coming weekend. We're going to take a trip down memory lane like we've never done before. Basically, what's going to happen is that we're going to revisit an event, an historic event that took place in our history. And I believe, Bernie, you were there for this.
I was there. If it's what you're, what I'm thinking.
Somehow you know what I'm going to say. Yes, and Jim, you were there as well, and I think that's pretty much it for people that are on this show right now. I'm talking about the first Hackers on Planet Earth conference. It took place in August of 1994. It was 2 days long. It had one speaker track. It was the first time in this country that a major hacking event like this had taken place. There were plenty of tiny hacker conventions of, say, 100, maybe 150 people. This was the first one that had over 1,000. And it was based on the events that had taken place in other countries, specifically the Netherlands. So what we're doing this weekend, we've basically gone through our archives and found a whole lot of material that we feared might have been lost. We've digitized, we've remastered, we've put together the videos from that particular conference. And what we're going to be doing, starting Saturday afternoon at the very time that the conference began on that Saturday afternoon back in August 1994, we're going to be releasing it on the internet, hour by hour. So the 12 o'clock talk will be released at noon. The 1 o'clock talk will become live at 1 p.m. We're going to do that all weekend long from about noon to midnight each day because those are the hours that we had. And for those of you who were there, it's going to be an amazing trip down memory lane. For those of you who weren't, it's going to be really revealing. You'll see a bunch of us looking much younger. You'll see all kinds of interesting talks about things like, say, a new operating system known as Linux, an upcoming film known as Hackers, all kinds of technological issues that we might laugh at now because they might seem so primitive. Or maybe things that never happened, things that never got developed. So basically, we're doing this starting at noon. And at the same time, noon on Saturday, we're also going to be offering tickets to the next Hope Conference, the next Hope Conference being Hope Number 9, taking place July 13, 14, and 15. We're having a very limited number of half-price tickets that will be available. You'll see all that on the website. But we're going through a service that you might have heard of, to release these videos, known as Blip TV, blip.tv. And I have two co-founders of Blip TV right here in the studio with us. I want to welcome Justin Day and Jared Klett to the studios. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Let me turn your mic on. It's only polite for me to do that. So now, we basically, and Kyle, I know you've been instrumental in getting this to work. We picked you guys to host these videos. Kyle, what would you say is the reason that we did that?
Mainly because we wanted to be able to syndicate the content in a variety of different places and basically integrate some social networking and other features. But I don't know. It basically offered a lot more flexibility just to have an account and get things up there and visible to people.
Well, YouTube has a whole lot of videos out there of every little thing that you could imagine in life. And most of them are rather short, and the quality isn't all that good. I'll let our guest explain the concept behind Blip TV, how you guys see yourself as different from, say, the mainstream.
Sure. I mean, we got our start around the same time as YouTube. We went a bit of a different direction. We wanted to be a very open platform. We always allowed the user to download the original files that they uploaded. That was a big selling point for a lot of people, that they felt, you know, secure about giving us their media, and we didn't, you know, take any rights to their content or anything else. And there was a big flap in kind of mid-2005, if I remember correctly, on the video blogging mailing list about YouTube's terms of service and how they would say, basically, we reserve the right to, you know, take your stuff and rebroadcast it, or any company that follows this company, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, and the rest is history. I mean, we've, you know, grown very organically. We're a privately held company. We've always kind of stuck to those principles and, you know, just developed this business on, you know, kind of that same, you know, set of principles.
Now, what was involved in getting the project off the ground in the first place?
You know, there were four of us in the beginning. We added a fifth founder, myself and Justin, and Mike and Charles and Dina. And, you know, we just kind of bootstrapped it, you know, off of our, you know, credit cards for a year until we said, oh, you know, we've really got something here. So we raised a small, you know, angel round, and we just kind of, you know, went from there. We all quit our day jobs about a year into the project, and that was kind of scary. But we were just doing nights and weekends for a long time.
Uh-huh. Now, what kinds of people or companies or organizations have come to Blip?
We kind of run the gamut. I mean, it's you know, like I said initially, it was just individuals doing video blogs. You know, that was really cool to see kind of those conversations happening. And eventually, you know, whole companies were being started around creating content. You know, this, you know, the concept of a web series came out. You know, there was an alternative to television, and we saw everyone from, you know, a couple of guys out in Chicago, like, doing this, you know, as a labor of love, all the way up to somebody like Michael Eisner, you know, backing this company to, like, produce this content. So it really kind of ran the gamut, but we served everyone the same. You know, we didn't say, oh, you're Michael Eisner, so, you know, you get, you know, this extra feature or something. You know, we treated everybody the same way.
Now, I've seen some webisodes, I guess is what you call them, of various shows. Are they produced only for Blip TV? They're about maybe 10 minutes long, and they seem to have quite a following.
We don't ever enter in kind of any exclusivity agreements. You know, if people are uploading their video to us, that's great. If they're using us, you know, as their main player, that's great. If they're also uploading to YouTube or Vimeo or wherever, that's fine too. You know, I don't think, but a lot of people, you know, they do release on us exclusively by their own choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that one of the reasons why we chose Blip was because we were able to put a whole video up in the first place. YouTube has a limit of, I think, 10 or 15 minutes. And that, you know, in order for us to put even one talk up, there would have to be about four or five parts to it. And that really gets kind of clumsy after a while, especially when you're dealing with a whole bunch of talks. Even this first conference, we only have, I think, 18 talks total. But some of the later ones have up to 100, and you know, to have four or five parts for each one of those, it would be insane. So it's good to be able to just click on something and play the entire thing and have it look pretty decent at the same time.
Yeah, we that was a decision, you know, we kind of made early on. We saw YouTube go to the 10-minute limit, and we understood why they did it. You know, it's to prevent people from uploading copyrighted material and things like that. And you know, would just kind of, you know, we would just kind of remove that stuff as we saw it, you know, on the site, and it was never really a problem for us. You know, we kept the site really clean and generally just made it an inhospitable place for anybody that wanted to, you know, commit that kind of copyright infringement.
Not that YouTube ever had a problem with copyright.
Oh, right, of course not. Sorry.
So have you gotten much in the way of media exposure as far as because everyone talks about YouTube and, you know, the YouTube phenomenon, how it helped topple dictatorships and things like that. And I don't hear the same thing about Blip. And do you think you guys could also be credited with some things like that?
Well, I think we've taken a little bit of a different approach. I mean, our whole focus is on independent web series producers. And we've gotten some media coverage for being about that. And I think, you know, the online video space is starting to settle into several niches, and web series being one of them. And I think we're a great tool because we focus so much on the web series producer and just building things for them. So we've gotten a little bit of press here and there, but yeah, obviously we're not the behemoth that is Google or YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Now, how does somebody get started with your service? What would they do in order to start producing their own episodes?
You just go to the site, blip.tv, and sign up, make an account, fill out all your details so that we know about your show, because somebody will take a look at it and rate it and categorize it and, you know, set it up for advertising, and then start uploading episodes.
And somehow you guys are tied into all kinds of other things, too, like TiVo.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle and I saw Blip on TV on a television set. What was
some of these internet TVs, like a Sony TV or something like that, they'll have like integrated internet capability.
Yeah, we just saw Blip TV on there. So we didn't have time to really check it out, but what kinds of capabilities does that give you and the people contributing?
Sure. So we're on a number of set-top boxes, like Sony Bravia sets and Roku boxes and on TiVo. You know, each one of those is the integrations are very, very different from one another. So you're likely to see, you know, very, very varied experiences. But on a lot of them, like Roku, you can get your series on there and people can dial you up on their TV and watch.
Very cool. Where do you see this going? I mean, I imagine this has been around for 5 years now. Things must have changed quite a bit in that period of time. So I imagine in the future, all kinds of things are going to be happening.
Yeah, as Justin said, we, you know, you can enable advertising on your show. We split the revenue 50-50 with the producer. We pay out every month, and you know, we've seen some of our larger shows and networks, you know, really start to make good living and you know, build sustainable businesses on this. So it's really just kind of, you know, building on that success and having, you know, more shows come on, you know, and kind of fostering that ecosystem where, you know, we have independent original web series being produced on any subject. You know, it runs the gamut. You know, you don't have to have advertising enabled. That's fine. But, you know, we definitely see kind of this, I hesitate to use the term, but long tail, you know, mm-hmm. coming out. You know, we have, you know, the very like high, you know, high earning shows, you know, running advertising at this end. And then at the other end, you know, there's a very niche set of content that may only have like 100 viewers per episode. But, you know, they get the same quality experience that these high-end guys do. And I think that's very valuable.
Now, do you get much content from different countries, or is it pretty much mostly United States?
Yeah. One of our longest and largest running shows is actually from China. But we see a lot of content from South America, a lot from Europe. I can't really think of any others off the top of my head.
South Korea?
Oh, South Korea, right.
Now, you go to Blip TV, how would you say, if you wanted to see Chinese shows, how would you go about looking for them?
A lot of that stuff, the series producer kind of handles their own promotion, and what they'll do is they'll take our player and embed it on their own site,
okay.
And they're actually able to brand the player with their own name and link and everything, so people don't even necessarily know that it's us hosting it and doing the ads and those sorts of things. So that allows us on our destination site to really focus on the stuff that we think sort of the audiences we're more familiar with, the US, UK audiences. That's sort of the more of the stuff that you'll feature on Blip TV, you know, proper.
Uh-huh. We were really excited about going through all the history and seeing some of these conferences and being able to share it with people, I think, is just really, really an important and inspiring project. So we really appreciated the way we're kind of experimenting with some of these like ways of syndicating it anyway, I don't know. It's been pretty smooth. We really enjoyed the process of getting it going.
Yeah, we are going to be doing this with all the conferences. We're trying to roll them all out, maybe one per month, if we can keep up to that, because they do get bigger and bigger. And we want to see how this one goes. Saturday, we're just going to roll it out. You'll see it on our website, either hope.net or 2600.com. It'll also be a cool way to test this service, Blip TV, which, you know, I've heard about in the past, but I hadn't really had any interaction with, not knowingly anyway. Like you guys say, it could be embedded on someone's site and you won't even know that someone is using your service. Now, do you have plans for new projects or expansion or anything that maybe might be different than what others are doing?
I mean, we're definitely growing. We're continuing to build upon our platform and build out new features, new functionality. We're actually hiring. We need people, so look at our careers page.
What kind of people are you looking for?
Developers, QA people, systems engineers, mm-hmm. just technical folks of all sorts.
Cool. And you're based here in New York, right?
Based here in New York, yeah.
Awesome. Something about your background, how you got into this in the first place?
I moved to New York City in 1999, and I met our fellow co-founder, Charles Hope, and he introduced me to
really?
A mailing list.
His name is Charles Hope?
Charles Hope, yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. I honestly did not know that. Wow, that's incredible. Okay.
Yeah, he got me into a mailing list called the New York City Geeks, and we would meet every 2 weeks or so for Indian food in the East Village somewhere. And
that's always a good start.
Yeah, it was a fun list. It was a lot of, discussion about, you know, technical stuff, a lot of politics, things like that. Justin came to one of those dinners. I met him, and we met Mike, and that was kind of how we all got together, was this mailing list.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we'd spend nights and weekends just hacking on different stuff, coming up with different ideas, and Blip's kind of the one that stuck.
There were a lot of projects before Blip.
Now, have you been faced with some huge corporation wanting to buy you out, or has Google approached you yet? Or
we've certainly had huge corporations name us in lawsuits, but
tell us about those. That's more interesting.
It's all been pretty benign. We were named in a patent lawsuit a while back, and it got thrown out in relatively short order. Mm-hmm. The patent was so ridiculous; it was like uploading a file to a web server. Uh-huh. Patent.
And who tried to grab that patent? Was it someone we know, or
it was a company called like EasyNet or Easy Web, some uh-huh. patent troll kind of thing. But I don't think we've ever really been approached that significantly about acquisition.
We've had discussions, but we've never gotten to it.
You would know more about that than I would.
So we've had talks about.
But I get you guys want to keep running the ship yourself, at least for the immediate future.
Yeah, we've never, you know, been, we've never really shopped the company around. That's never really been an interest for us. You know, to me, being able to, you know, build stuff and hack on stuff that millions of people use every day is like the greatest job that I could ever want.
What advice might you give to people that are just starting out, have ideas, thinking of starting some kind of company on the internet? Anything that maybe they could learn from your experience?
I'd say just start doing stuff. Start putting it out there. Don't wait to make it perfect. Don't wait to until you have just the right feature set or whatever. Just put it out there and see what people think. Chances are your assumptions are wrong anyway, and you need that feedback.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Definitely. Justin, you're part of NYC Resistor.
Yep.
We found that out before the show. That's part of a hackerspace over in Brooklyn.
Yep.
That kind of environment, I guess, is conducive to creativity and innovation.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, Blip predates NYC Resistor a little bit, but that group has certainly fostered other startups and other great projects.
Mm. Cool. Do you guys want to give any kind of contact info? We're going to go to some phone calls, and you're welcome to stick around and talk to our listeners if they have any questions for you or on anything
sure.
else. But how do people find Blip and anything else you just want to share?
You can just go to the site, blip.tv, and our email addresses are just our first names, you know, Jared@blip.tv and
Justin@blip.tv.
Yeah.
Very
cool. We like email.
All right. You know, I'm really looking forward to this weekend. I don't know if this is something that happens often where something like this is debuted to great fanfare. I'm not sure if there'll be great fanfare. Hopefully there will be. But for us, you know, just being able to have a timed release like this, that actually you have a setup on your system where you can say, okay, we release this video at 2 p.m. on Saturday, November the 12th, and it'll presumably get released at exactly that time. And it's just kind of a cool thing to be able to say, wow, this talk is now happening as it happened back in 1994, 17 years ago. I imagine there's all kinds of other possible things you could do. You're basically episodic as far as the videos are released. So you could make a series yourself at your house or in your office or something like that, and just put them all in the can and release them week by week or day by day at a particular time and publicize that. That alone is a cool feature, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that some of our most popular shows are people that are literally doing that.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Any kind of restrictions as far as, do you have any length restriction at all? Or
no.
You have to keep the files under a gig.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
Oh, pretty cool. So blip.tv, and again, we'll be putting blip.tv/2600magazine is our page on there. Right now it has nothing because we haven't released anything, but on Saturday you're going to see that start to come to life, and all kinds of other things as well. We're starting a hacker archive of sorts of video content, not just of conferences. We have all kinds of things. It'll be growing as the weeks and months progress. Our telephone number is 212-209-2900. Bernie, we haven't heard from you in a while. Do you have any thoughts from Philadelphia?
I'm just intrigued by this system you've got, and I was wondering if you have any content restrictions that our listeners should know about.
As far as restrictions on the content itself, I mean, obviously, we don't like it if you upload the latest episode of some, you know, CBS TV show.
Aside from copyright issues.
Sure. No, not really. I mean, you can talk about pretty much whatever you want. I mean, we, don't put any restrictions on anything, really.
Well,
I mean,
that's not entirely true. I mean, don't upload your real estate walkthrough of a house.
True.
Don't upload your blatant commercial for some product or service you're selling. it has to be content. It has to be, and we'd like it to be, you know, episodic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there is... Go ahead.
I think that's why it's fit for us, because the conferences come in a series, and it's an informational thing we want to share with people. So some of these new features, you know, we can use in websites and other cool stuff, and just get the video hosted and share it.
No, it really is a perfect fit. Yeah.
Okay. 212-209-2900 is our telephone number. We're speaking with Jared and Justin from Blip TV, and we're looking forward to Saturday at noon when the Hope Conference begins. Now, I was going to start the show actually by playing the episode from 1994 where the Hope Conference was going to begin the next Saturday at noon. But what we're going to do is just simply release the videos one by one, hour by hour, as they were played out back in 1994. And these are videos that have not been around, that you probably have never seen. They're also, you can also get the DVDs, but you won't get them by Saturday, I'll tell you that. So this is the best way to see them as they happen. And again, starting at noon, you'll have a chance to get half-price tickets to the next conference taking place next July. So write down www.2600.com, write down www.hope.net, write down blip.tv/2600magazine, and set your alarm clock. Make sure you've set the clock back to for standard time, and be up by noon because that's when all the fun begins. All right, our phone number, 212-209-2900. Let's see who's out there. And good evening. You were on off the hook. Okay, let's wait for those lines to populate again. Our phones, by the way, they're making weird clicking noises, so let's not panic too much.
Go ahead. It's worse and worse by the week. It's really quite sad.
Yeah, it seems to. Nothing's lit up right now.
I hope that means that the phone's broken and not that our listeners don't love us anymore.
Okay, well, there is a line ringing. Let's see if this one is actually working, and hopefully the rest will ring as well. And again, we're open to pretty much anything right now because we won't be on next week. So if you have anything to share with our listeners, please make it short because we only have a few minutes left. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi. You were talking about the 11-11-11. What about December 12th of next year?
1 and 2. You see, those are different numbers. It'll be 12-12-12.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right.
Yeah, you see,
yeah,
I mean,
my mind.
Yeah, and the 22, I forgot about that there's no 22nd month. But maybe by 22-22, there will be.
I had a laugh at that.
Yeah. But, it's history, so let's all enjoy it together.
Yeah, I recently heard about the show. I actually know Firefly. I used to work with him some years back.
Rob T. Firefly, you mean?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Well, usually people don't refer to him as Firefly, but...
Yeah,
that's cool. I'm sure he's listening now.
Yes. All right. I just thought I'd give a ring.
Okay, thanks for your call. And let's take the next one. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hello.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Ngawa, ngawa, ngawa.
Okay, well, you know, you just sort of have to make sense in our language to continue here. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just wondering, like, how come we, like, the only, as far as, like, energy goes, like, we only hear about, like, it's, like, the fossil fuels that only have the real chance. Like, why don't we talk about, like, biofuels, like, putting people to work, like, even before jobs, you know what I mean, growing stuff and producing, like, our actual energy. Like, if we're dependent on other countries on the other side of the world, wherever, we're getting the fuel from or under, you know, the ocean, that's...
Excellent point, sir. Excellent point. Are you listening to our radio show at all? Because we aren't discussing that topic in the slightest bit. But thanks. Thanks for the call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Speak up, please.
Hey, big fan. First time calling. Hey,
Thank you. What's on your mind?
I'm just calling to ask for the Blip TV thing.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Are they using the HTML5 thing for video?
We use HTML5 on our mobile offering. Unfortunately, some of the vendors that we work with haven't quite come around to using HTML5 on the desktop. So that's kind of blocking our use of that as our only player. But that's where we intend to head.
Cool.
Okay.
Like I said, big fan.
Well, thanks for your call. Thanks very much for your call. And, you know, there's something really rare about that call. It was completely on topic. And it was his first call, too. I hope he makes many more calls because we like calls that are on topic and actually ask questions about the people in the studio.
The 11-11 guy was on topic.
No, that was on topic, too. That's true. But fossil fuels? Did we mention fossil fuels at any point? I mean, they're important, yeah. Kyle, we can speak about biofuels for hours, couldn't we?
Yeah. I like biofuels.
Yeah, but let's not speak about it now because we only have a couple of minutes left and we're talking about technology and the internet and hackers and things like that. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi. I'm not on the air, am I?
Yes, you're on the air. Do you not want to be on the air?
Yeah, kind of not. I just wanted
Okay, well then that's it. You're not on the air anymore. Kind of not means no to me. 212-209-2900, that's the number to call. For people who want to be on the air, for people who don't want to be on the air, dial any other number, all right?
Or no number at all.
Not hard.
There's yeah.
Well, if you feel you have to make a phone call.
Well, you could send us an email and you won't, your voice won't be on the air, oth@2600.com.
Let's try and continue. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Ian Monroe.
I don't know. I just heard the name Monroe, and right away that made me hang up. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yeah, how you guys doing? Listen, seems like we're a little bit off topic tonight, so I just figured I'm really into science fiction. I was wondering if you guys ever really talk about that too much on the show. I listen all the time, and I just figured I'd bring it up. You know,
you need to listen to a great show called Hour of the Wolf, which is on every Tuesday night, I believe, at midnight. It used to be on at ungodly hour on Saturday morning, but it's since been moved to Wait, is it Tuesday night? No, I'm sorry. It's Wednesday. It's tonight? Yes. Is it tonight? It's tonight. Oh, my God. It's tonight. So tune in at midnight, and you'll hear Jim Freund and Hour of the Wolf. And it's probably the most amazing science fiction show and fantasy and all kinds of cool things like that that you'll hear on the radio. All right. That sort of was on topic, I guess. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yeah, hi. With the daylight savings time, just try to do somebody's horoscope and try to figure out what, you know, when it's that time of the year, whether they were daylight savings or not.
Yeah.
A big pain in the neck.
I never thought of that. That's something.
So it's actually interesting because the horoscope people, the astrology people, do actually compile references for the history of daylight saving time, and the standard database, the Olson database that's used by all kinds of Unix systems and Macs and everybody, actually recently got sued by an astrology company for like taking some of the information. So this is a very strange lawsuit, and we'll see what happens.
All right, thanks for that call. You know, Mike, I don't think I ever would have expected you to be telling us anything about astrology.
I'm telling you about copyright lawsuits.
Where is this coming from?
Copyright lawsuits and time zone databases. Much more interesting than astrology, but sometimes there's overlap.
Capricorn. Oh, you know what that is. Okay.
What about it?
No, I just saw recognition in your eyes when I said that. So, okay, there's something here. I found that Bernie raises bees, and you're into astrology. I don't want to find out.
I don't want these vicious rumors on the radio.
Don't fold that paper.
I won't fold the paper.
All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
All right, since you guys are talking off topic, how about an unlimited energy source that's available anywhere across the planet that's not solar and doesn't pollute? It's available anywhere.
Okay. Sounds good. I'll bite. How do I get it?
Simple. You drill down 6 miles to the Earth.
6 miles, okay.
You hit the mantle. The mantle is molten rock.
Molten, okay, all right.
They did a drilling experiment with it where the drill melted at that point.
Right.
So it's simple. You drill a hole in the ground.
Okay.
Put water down, you get steam out, you run a generator. That's available all the way across the planet.
Okay, my pen ran out of ink, but I'm going to listen to the archive and get this down. Okay, good, good. Any other things we need to know?
No, that's it.
All right, see how simple it is, folks? You just got to listen to the radio and all the world's problems will be solved. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi, good evening. I'm not sure whether this is more appropriate for the computer show or you guys, but I'll throw it out there.
Well, it's getting awfully close to the computer show, so you're right on the cusp.
Sure, I know. Is there any way that it's possible to record clips either from YouTube or your stream, any video services that allow live recording of live streaming? Some of them, even on YouTube, frozen ones, do not permit downloading or copying. Is there a workaround for that?
That's an excellent question, and it's on topic, so let's have our guests address that.
Well, we can't really speak to, you know, what you can and can't do with a YouTube stream, but our streams are not restricted in any way. It's a standard HTTP download. We're not doing anything fancy.
Mm-hmm.
You could just pull it straight off of, you know, run a, either look in your browser activity or, you know, run something like that and download the original file that you're watching right at the moment.
Sounds pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Okay.
You usually have a button, too, on your website that's just really easy to use.
212-209-2900. We only have a couple of minutes left. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Wow, guys. I mean, I'm not a computer expert, but I did actually listen to the show.
Cool.
You know, I just wanted to ask, how is Blip TV playing into the independent media movement, like with Occupy Wall Street and all these kinds of things stirring up all over the place? Are there people also using this to make alternative news sources?
Sure, sure. I think Democracy Now! Actually hosts a video version of their show on Blip, and a number of other shows that are covering this, that sort of stuff, are using our platform, and whomever would like to is free to.
Yeah, it's a lot of potential. I know people are clamoring for a video version of Off the Hook. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but if we did decide to do that, it seems like it would be made for something like what you guys offer. All right, let's try to get through these calls. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi, I caught the last part of your show, and I don't know what your guests do.
Oh, okay. Well, this is a good chance to sum up what you guys actually do.
Go ahead. All right. So we are part of a company called Bliptop TV. It's a online video host for people making independent web series. We help independent web series producers do everything that isn't production. So we host the video. We help them distribute it. We help them promote it. And then we help them monetize it if they want by putting ads in the videos and splitting the revenues 50-50.
And if they choose not to have ads, you still host it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, same deal.
Cool. All right. And again, we're releasing the videos from the first Help Conference this coming Saturday starting at noon. You'll see the links on our main 2600.com webpage or hope.net, or you can just go straight to BlipTV/2600magazine. And, of course, we will have that special limited half-price deal for the next conference known as Help Number 9, taking place July 13th through 15th. Hope you guys will be there as well. Any final words from anybody before we sign off for 2 weeks as far as content or contact information?
2 weeks? What's on next week?
Next week is a special National Pacifica programming day.
Oh.
Yeah, from the Pacifica Archives. Speaking of archives.
They're nice people.
They certainly are. They make this place possible. All right, well, Jared, Justin, I want to thank you. Best of luck to you, and I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more from you in the future. And looking forward to Saturday when we actually get to use your system and see how it works. If it can, is it going to crash under the weight of all these people tuning in at the same time for the same thing?
Let's hope not.
All right, well, that's one way to find out. All right, you can write to us, oth@2600.com, with your comments, questions, theories, whatnot. We'd like to hear from our listeners. Again, we won't be back for another 2 weeks, preempted next week. Going out with another Occupy Wall Street type song. And again, please, if you know of any, please email us, oth@2600.com. This one comes from Citizen Rage. Good night.
Und Paläste im Osten und Westen erwacht aus dem Albtraum, erweckt von Protesten. Wenn viele wenig haben und wenige viel, wird's Zeit für Signal und ein gemeinsames Ziel. Besetzt Plätze und Paläste im Osten und Westen. Heute wird es Zeit, das Kapital zu testen. Wir beenden es heute, die Banken zu mästen. Besetzt Plätze und Paläste im Osten und Westen. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Die Zeit besänftigender Reden ist vorbei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Protestiert friedlich, dann hört jeder den Schrei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Die Zeit des Lobbyismus ist lange vorbei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Protestiert friedlich, dann hört jeder den Schrei. Zockt und dafür gut kassiert, der ist es nicht wert, dass man ihn gegenfinanziert. Manchmal fragt man sich, ob noch das Volk regiert, wenn in der Lobbypolitik das Kapital triumphiert. Ihr Banker spielt und jongliert mit Finanzderivaten, nur für den Profit habt ihr uns verkauft und verraten. Doch wenn ihr gewinnt, dann gewinnt nur ihr, und wenn ihr verliert, dann zahlen wir. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Die Zeit besänftigender Reden ist vorbei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Protestiert friedlich, dann hört jeder den Schrei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Die Zeit des Lobbyismus ist lange vorbei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Protestiert friedlich, dann hört jeder den Schrei. Banker bunkern Boni, auch wenn ihre Banken schließen. Das geht so lange weiter, wie die Gelder fließen. Gibt's eine Inflation, investieren sie in Devisen. Wir können nur verlieren, der Markt sei gepriesen. Eure Boni sind doch nur der Lohn für Raub und Betrug. Schämt euch in Grund und Boden, doch das ist uns nicht genug. Wir wollen ein Ende eurer Spekulation. Lang genug waren wir Lämmer und ernteten Hohn. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Die Zeit besänftigender Reden ist vorbei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Protestiert friedlich, dann hört jeder den Schrei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Die Zeit des Lobbyismus ist lange vorbei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Protestiert friedlich, dann hört jeder den Schrei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Die Zeit besänftigender Reden ist vorbei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Protestiert friedlich, dann hört jeder den Schrei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Die Zeit des Lobbyismus ist lange vorbei. Occupy, yeah, Occupy. Protestiert friedlich, dann hört jeder den Schrei.
Citizen Rage. That's what that was.